Welcome to an ElmQuest presentation.
Dua, the weapon of the believer. Presented by Yasir Qadi. Part 3.
The recommended timings for dua. Of the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He has favored certain times over others. Thus, He has distinguished these timings so that the worshipper can eagerly anticipate their arrival and thus make dua to Allah earnestly and sincerely. Had all timings been the same, the worshipper would not have had the enthusiasm and the fervor that exists during the more blessed timings. Therefore, it is important that the one who desires that his dua be answered, utilize these times and ensure that his dua be more frequent and more sincere during them. The single most blessed time for a dua to be responded to is in the last third of the night. During this time, when the vast majority of creation is in a deep sleep, the true worshipper is awake, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a place that nobody can see him. When all of mankind is heedless, he is standing up in tahajjud, making long du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying for Jannah, asking to be saved from the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the true believers in Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse 18, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And in the hours of dawn, they seek forgiveness from their Lord. Not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself comes down to His servant and opens for him the doors of mercy and forgiveness. In a hadith narrated by over a dozen companions, in a hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, and all of the famous books of hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has authentically reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَ. Our Lord Himself descends down in the last third of the night, every single night during the last third of the night, to the skies of this world. And He asks, who is making dua to me so I can respond to him? Who is asking me so that I can give him? Who is asking for my forgiveness so that I can forgive him? This hadith is reported in Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira, and it is reported by many other companions in many other books of hadith as well. And this we affirm in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We do not delve into how. We believe what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. This is a part of our iman. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. We do not distort or deny what our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. We affirm what he said in a way and a manner that befits Allah jalla jalaluhu. Our Lord Himself comes down. يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا. Our Lord comes down. Anybody who denies this, he forgets the whole purpose of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us this hadith. The purpose for him telling us this hadith is so that we be encouraged in praying tahajjud. What a great blessing when Allah Himself comes down. How will our hearts react? How much will our hearts yearn to go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We will raise our hands up to Allah in the middle of the night. We are physically conscious, aware that Allah jalla jalaluhu has descended to the heavens of this earth. And He calls out, man yad'uni, who is making dua to me? Man yastaghfiruni, who is seeking my forgiveness? Man yas'aluni, man yatlubuni? Allah Himself is asking, who is there that wants my forgiveness? Who is there that petitions? I will give him what he wants. What a great iman booster. What more do we want? Those who deny these ahadith, verily there is nothing but pity and sorrow that we can feel for them. The beauty, the joy, the spirituality that the real believer feels when Allah and His Messenger describe Himself in such a beautiful manner, our iman goes up, our servitude goes up, our joy and our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases immensely. As for those who worry about how and what and where, and they delve into the reality of the names and attributes, for them they have deprived themselves from the sweetest of all blessings of iman, and that is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amr ibn Abbas reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the closest any worshipper can be to his Lord is during the last part of the night. So if you can be amongst those who remember Allah at that time, then do so. This is a hadith reported in Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and others. Thus, there is a huge incentive, an immense incentive for any person who really and truly desires to come closer to Allah and wishes to have his sins forgiven and that his dua be responded to wake up when everyone else is asleep and remember Allah privately, all the while sincerely making dua to him. In another variant wording of this hadith, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the famous companion, narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Our Lord, all glory and praise be to Him, comes down in the last third of the night to the skies of the world. And He says, 'Who is there that is making dua so that I can respond to Him? Who is there that is asking me so that I can give him? Who is there that is seeking my forgiveness so that I can forgive him?'" And this hadith is also reported in Bukhari and Muslim. Hence, one of the famous scholars of the past, Abu Bakr al-Tartushi, said, "The summary of this chapter is to state, he is not a wise man who has a need to Allah, and yet he sleeps away his need at night. You are not wise if you really and truly desire Allah's blessings, Allah's rewards, that your dua be accepted, and yet you spend this blessed time sleeping away. It is a part of the characteristics of the believers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. Their sides, their bodies are fighting their beds. In other words, look at the struggle. A part of them wishes to go to sleep. The other part wishes to worship Allah. Their bodies are struggling against their beds. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. They make dua to Allah in fear and in hope. This is of the characteristics of the believers, that in the middle of the night, they get up to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Him. The last third of the night, by the way, is calculated as follows. You take the time for Maghrib and the time for Fajr, and you divide it into three parts. So the last third of these three parts, between Maghrib and Fajr, the night in the Islamic Sharia is defined to be from Maghrib to Fajr. So whatever time Maghrib is and whatever time Fajr is, these are the beginnings and the ends. You divide it into three portions. So suppose then that Maghrib and Fajr is 9 hours apart. So Maghrib and Fajr is 9 hours apart. In this case, the last third of the night would be the 3 hours before Fajr. Likewise, if Maghrib and Fajr is 4 hours, is 12 hours apart, excuse me, then the last third of the night will be 4 hours before Fajr, and so on and so forth. Another blessed time for the dua being responded to is when the adhan is called, and between the adhan and the iqamah. So while the adhan is taking place and after the adhan has taken place, this is of the blessed timings to have a dua accepted and responded to. The Prophet ﷺ said, two du'as are never rejected or rarely rejected. The dua during the call for prayer, the adhan, and the dua during the calamity when the two armies meet and attack one another. In other words, during the heat of the battle. This was reported in Abu Dawood and others. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, when the prayer is called, the doors of the skies are opened and the dua is answered. And yet another hadith, seek the response to your duas when the armies meet and the prayer is called and when rain falls. So all of these are timings when the dua is accepted. And as we said also, between the dua, between the adhan and the iqamah, the Prophet ﷺ said, the dua between the adhan and iqamah is not refused. Therefore, offer your duas at this time, reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawood. Also, during the salah itself, the time in which we are engaged in one of the greatest acts of worship, the act of worship that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu legislated directly to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without any intermediary. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went up on his journey of Al-Mi'raj, on the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when he went up to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Allah directly legislated the salah to him, unlike all of the other commandments, the zakah, the hajj, the fasting, all of this was done via the medium of the angel Jibreel, not so the salah. It was so blessed and so holy and so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated it directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the salah in and of itself is nothing but du'as, one after the other. So it is not strange and it is not surprising that the salah is one of the best timings that our du'a can be accepted. And there are many, many times during the salah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make du'as. Most of these du'as are specific du'as. You can find them in any book of the sunnah, any book that describes how to pray according to the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as soon as he said Allahu Akbar, he would have a special type of dua, dua al-istiftah. Likewise, before going into ruku', sometimes he would make a dua, a special dua. This is in the qunut or in the witr prayers. Also, standing up from ruku', he would make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua that is usually made, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fihi mubarakan alayhi mil as-samawati wa mil al-ardi wa mil ama baynahuma. Allahumma, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, O Allah, cleanse me with ice and water, cleanse me of my sins and mistakes as a white garment is cleansed of dirt and dust. Allahumma naqqini min adh-dhunubi wal khataaya kama yunqa ath-thawb al-abyad min ad-danas. Likewise, during the ruku' itself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "Subuhun Qudusun Rabbuna wa Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh," and other ad'iyah, other du'as that he would say during the ruku'. And during the sujood, and this was the posture during which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made most of his du'as. Also, between the two sajdas, he would say, "Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli." Between the two sajdas, the jalsa we call it, the jalsa al-istirah we call it, between the two sajdas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make special du'as as well. And likewise, after the final tashahud, before saying the salam, right at the end of the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also make du'as. And out of all of these timings, these timings have been reported authentically, specific du'as from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslim is encouraged to look up all of these du'as at these timings and repeat them in his own prayer so that he can come closer to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, if a person wishes to make some more statements or additions and he doesn't do so as a habit, he does so occasionally, this too is allowed at these timings. And the dua of the sajda is a very noble and a very, very blessed dua. In fact, there is no posture that is more noble and blessed that a person can be in than the state of sajda. And how can this not be so when the sajda is the epitome of humility and submissiveness? When a person lowers his face, the most noble and the most sacred part of his body, he lowers it to the dust. He puts his hand where people tread with their feet. He puts his face where people tread with their feet. And he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his pleasure, asking his forgiveness, making his du'as to him. This posture is the most beloved of all postures to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ. The closest any worshipper can be to his Lord is while he is in sajda. فَقَمِنٌ أَن يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. So make dua. Indeed, the chances of your dua being accepted are very high. Your du'as will indeed be accepted. This is narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. It is for this reason that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited reciting the Qur'an in a state of ruku' and sujood. He prohibited reciting the Qur'an because this is a state of such humility, of such humbleness, that it is not befitting that the Qur'an itself be recited. Rather, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if a person wishes to use some of the du'as of the Qur'an in his sujood, this is allowed. For example, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. It is allowed because he does not intend to recite the Qur'an. He intends the dua. Therefore, because he does not intend the Qur'an, he intends the dua, this is allowed. Also, please bear in mind that the sujood here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not restrict it to the sujood of the fard prayers. Therefore, a person can make dua in any of the sajdas, the fard, the sunnah, and the nafil prayers. After a person says the du'as of the sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and any other du'as from the sunnah, after this, he is encouraged to make du'as of what he wants in this world and the hereafter, in the fard and in other of the fard. Likewise, the correct opinion is that such a du'a can be made in any language. There is no doubt that the dhikrs of the salah have to be in Arabic. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allahu Akbar. All of these phrases, which are an essential part of the prayer, they need to be in Arabic, no doubt about it. However, anything other than this, for example, the du'as of the sajda after one has finished that which is obligatory to say, There is no evidence to restrict it only to being in Arabic. Therefore, it is completely permissible. And this is the opinion of many of the scholars past and present. And there is no evidence to state that this opinion is incorrect. It is completely permissible to make a dua in your language, even if it is not Arabic, because the purpose of dua is sincerity and humility. And sincerity will only be achieved when you say that which you understand. However, there is no doubt that Arabic is the language of Islam, and a person should strive his utmost to learn it and practice it and make all of his du'as in it. But if he doesn't do so, and he makes du'as in his own language, even inside of the salah, there is no harm in that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, of the timings that du'a is accepted, is the du'a before the end of the salah and after the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once sitting, and Ibn Mas'ud was praying. And when he finished the prayer, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sent the salams upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, right before saying the actual salam. And then he started praying for himself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at him. At this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ask and you shall be given. Ask and you shall be given." This hadith is reported in At-Tirmidhi. So this shows you that right before the prayer finishes, before the salam, after you have finished the tashahud, this is another time that the dua is accepted. Also right after the salah as well, after the taslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by Abu Umama al-Bahili, "Ya Rasulullah, which dua is the most likely to be responded to?" He said, "In the last part of the night and after the obligatory prayers." Wa dubur, he said, the after or at the end of the obligatory prayers. This is reported in At-Tirmidhi. Now there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. What is the meaning of dubur here? Dubur here is the end of something. But the end of something, does it mean the end right before it finishes or the end right after it finishes? In other words, applying it specifically to the salah. Does this hadith apply to before you say the salam and after the tashahud? Or does it apply to right after the salam? This is where the scholars have differed. Some scholars, such as Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he considered the meaning of this hadith to apply to the time period before one says the final salam of the prayer and after one has finished the tashahud. Others, according to Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn al-Qayyim was a student of Ibn Taymiyyah, for example, Ibn al-Qayyim, he held the opinion that dubur here meant that the time period after the prayer finishes. And of course, the word carries both connotations and meanings. And Allah knows best, there is no contradiction in saying that both of these time periods are blessed and good times to make dua. However, a note of caution. Many, many Muslims have the habit, right after they say the salam, to make a dua. And this is incorrect for a very simple reason. After one says the salam from the obligatory prayers, it is a strong sunnah to say dhikrs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to say. In fact, many are the dhikrs that are narrated that he would say after the taslim. For example, 33 times subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, and then the 100 time la ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. For example, also saying the qul huwallahu ahad, ayatul kursi. So many of the dhikrs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say after the fard prayers. Many people have a habit, as soon as they say salam, they have a continuous habit to raise their hands and make dua. And this has not been narrated at all from the sunnah. The sunnah is after one finishes the taslim of the salah, he makes these dhikrs. And then if he wishes to make a dua occasionally after these dhikrs, it appears that this is a blessed time to make dua. Also the topic of a communal dua, of all the people in the congregation making a dua after the salah, this too is an innovation, and we will discuss this in a later lecture, insha'Allah ta'ala. Another timing that is blessed is a special hour on Friday. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "On Friday, there is an hour during which, if any Muslim is standing in front of Allah in salah and asking Allah for something good, he will be granted his request." Therefore, there is a short time, this hadith by the way is reported in Bukhari, there is a short time on Friday, an hour, and obviously an hour, when the Prophet ﷺ is saying an hour, he is not meaning 60 minutes, he is meaning a portion of the day. The phrase hour, or the Arabic word for hour, was used in the past to refer to a short period of time. There are many opinions as to the exact hour on Friday during which this occurs. In fact, There are scholars who have said basically all of the hours of the day of Friday. Some say the first morning hour after Fajr, some say before the Jum'ah, some say at Jum'ah, some say after Jum'ah. So the entire day has been taken up by the scholars' opinions. However, the strongest of these opinions are two. The first of these strong opinions is that this hour or this period of time occurs between the two khutbahs, when the imam sits down until the end of the khutbah. This is the first opinion. This is that special hour. And the second is that this special hour occurs after the Asr prayer until the Maghrib prayer. And of these two opinions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It seems as if the second one is stronger. The second one is stronger. In other words, the last minutes of the day on Friday, right before the Maghrib prayer. The last, 15, 20, 30 minutes. Because remember we said, an hour doesn't literally mean 60 minutes in the language of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means a portion of time. There is one hadith that lends weight to that opinion. And it is a hadith reported in Abu Dawood, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Friday has 12 parts to it, or 12 hours to it. There is one hour during which if a Muslim asks Allah anything, Allah will give it to him. So find it during the last hour after Asr. So Friday has 12 hours to it. Now this is another proof that shows an hour doesn't mean 60 minutes. Because it's Friday, the day on Friday, is not always composed of 12 exact hours. Remember, when we're talking about the day, we're talking about from Fajr until Maghrib. From Fajr until Maghrib. So if Fajr is at 6 a.m., Maghrib doesn't necessarily occur at 6 p.m. In fact, hardly anywhere in the world is the night and day exactly 12 hours. And even if it is, it is only on one particular day. So what is meant by an hour is a portion of the day. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Friday is composed of 12 hours. And the most significant hour where this dua most likely occurs is the last hour on Friday. Likewise, of the timings that are blessed is when a person wakes up in the middle of the night. Even if he goes back to sleep again, if he remembers Allah at this time, his dua will be accepted. The Prophet ﷺ said, as reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, whoever wakes up at night and says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa hu ala kulli shay'in qadir, alhamdulillah wa subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Whoever makes this praise to Allah and then says, Oh Allah forgives me, or makes dua, then he will be responded to. And if he performs wudu and prays, then his prayers will be accepted. So when you remember Allah in the middle of the night, even if it is just remembering Allah, you wake up, something wakes you up, you remember Allah with this beautiful dhikr, and then you make your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed respond to it. Also, after performing wudu is a blessed timing as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when we perform the wudu and then we say the dhikr that we're supposed to say, which is ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, all of the 8 doors of Jannah are open for the one who says this, and he can enter Jannah through whichever gate he pleases. So the fact that the gates of Jannah are opened, it is an indication that this is a good time to make dua as well. Another timing to make dua is before drinking zamzam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith reported in the Sunnah, the Sunan of Ibn Majah, "Ma'u zamzama lima shuriba lah." The water of zamzam is for whatever it has been drunk. In other words, whatever you drink the water of zamzam for, that is what you will get. So when you drink zamzam, you should make dua to Allah. You should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever dua you make, that is inshaAllah a dua that will be accepted to Allah, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another timing that is blessed is the entire month of Ramadan, and of course especially the Laylatul Qadr. The entire month of Ramadan, there is no doubt this is the most blessed month of the entire year, the year during which the Quran was revealed. And the process of inspiration started upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as we all know, when Ramadan comes, the doors of Jannah are opened and the doors of hell are closed and the shayateen are chained up. So the very fact that the doors of Jannah are opened, inshallah, this is an indication that the du'as themselves have a greater chance of being accepted. And of course, out of all of the nights of Ramadan, the night of Laylatul Qadr, during this blessed night, the holiest night of the entire year, when the angels descend down to the earth in the company of the angel Jibreel, the head of all the angels, and when the earth itself is overwhelmed with the peace and serenity until the break of dawn, and when the doors of paradise are opened, and the worship on this one night is equivalent to the worship of over 1,000 months. On this one night, this indeed is a night to make dua. Aisha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha reported that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Messenger of Allah, what dua should I make on Laylatul Qadr?" So she's asking, "What dua should I make?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Say, O Allah, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. O Allah, you are forgiving and love to forgive, so forgive me." And this was reported in At-Tirmidhi. Likewise, of the timings that are blessed to make dua is around the holy sites and places of Mecca and of Hajj. For example, dua inside the Kaaba itself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he entered the Kaaba, he made dua in all of its corners. And of course, the dua of the Kaaba in our times is closed, but the semicircular region that is to one side of the Kaaba, on the opposite side of the black stone, which is called the Hijr, or the Hatim. This semicircular region, in fact, it used to form a part of the original Kaaba. So to pray in that area is equivalent to praying inside the Kaaba. Because the original Kaaba of the Prophet Ibrahim, many people don't know this, the original Kaaba was not a square, rather it was a rectangle. The original Kaaba was a rectangle, and it was only later on converted into a square during the time of the Quraysh, when they rebuilt the Kaaba, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous incident where he lifted up the black stone and placed it in its corner, the Quraysh rebuilt it as a square. And from that time, basically, except for a short period of time, where Abdullah bin Zubayr rebuilt it upon upon the shape of Ibrahim, for the rest of the time before him and after him, it has always remained a square. But the reality is the original Kaaba was a rectangle. Therefore, that semicircular region used to form a part of the Kaaba. So anybody who goes there and makes dua, it is as if he is making dua inside the Kaaba. Also to make dua at Safa and Marwa, obviously this is only during Umrah or Hajj, when you're actually doing the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. A person should not go to Safa and Marwa and make dua there just for the sake of making dua there. Only when he is doing Umrah or doing the rites of Hajj and walking between Safa and Marwa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make long, long du'as at Safa and Marwa. And also, after stoning the Jamarat, after stoning the three pillars in the valley of Mina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would face the Qibla, raise his hands and make dua for a long, long time. One Sahabi even said, as long as it takes to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. He would do so between the stoning. So he would do so between the first and second, and between the second and third, and he would not do so after the third. So he would make dua in between the stonings, and this is in the last days of Hajj. And of course, dua on the day of Arafah itself. The dua on this particular day is the essence of Hajj, because Arafah is the pinnacle of Hajj. Al-Hajju Arafah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Hajj is Arafah. On this day, millions of worshippers gather together at one place, at one location, from every single corner of the globe, with only one purpose in mind, to respond to the call of their Creator. During this auspicious day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not refuse the requests of His worshippers. Amr ibn al-As narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "The best of all du'as is the one given on the day of Arafah." The best of all du'as. So what a great blessing it is for those who are there. You have to, of course, the blessings on this day primarily apply to the Hujjaj who are there on the plain of Arafat. Therefore, this is a great incentive for us to do Hajj as many times as we can, if only to get the du'as of this day. Another period which is blessed are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There are no days during which the good deeds are more beloved to Allah than during these 10 days." So when all of the blessed deeds are multiplied during these 10 days, then there is no doubt that the greatest of all good deeds, the dua itself, the reward, and also the acceptance is also multiplied. Likewise, one of the times to make dua, and good dua at that especially, is when the soul of a person is being taken. During this frightening occasion, when a person is in the last stages of life, and is about to enter the life of the hereafter, the barzakh, those who are around this person should not say anything except for that which is good. This is because the angels of death are waiting nearby to take the soul of this person, and they will say Ameen to every dua that is made at this occasion. Umm Salama narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon Abu Salama while he was on his deathbed, and his eyes had fixed into a stare. In other words, this is right when he died. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam closed his eyelids and said, "When the soul leaves the body, the eyes follow it." This is a beautiful hadith, and it shows you why every single person who dies, his eyes are staring upwards. Why? Because when the soul leaves, when the ruh leaves the body, everybody can see his own ruh leaving him. And so obviously, every single person will stare mesmerized at his own soul. And as his soul leaves him, the very last stages of life, his eyesight is staring at his own soul. And then the soul leaves him and he enters into the realm of the barzakh. And so he dies while his eyes are in that fixless stare, staring and gazing away upwards. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the reason why. When he said this, the people of the house of Abu Salama began crying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded them, "Do not say anything for yourselves but good, for the angels say Ameen to all that you ask for. O Allah, forgive Abu Salama and raise his ranks among those who are rightly guided." And this hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. So when a person is in the presence of the one who is dying, then he should only pray for good. Think of him in the best ways. O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, increase his place and rank in Jannah. O Allah, make his grave a vast place for him. O Allah, save him from the fitna of the grave, and so on and so forth. And of the timings that are blessed is at the time of rainfall. Rain in general is a sign of Allah's blessings, because rain is something that benefits the people. This is a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down one of the most needed blessings to men, and that is that of the rain. From rain, our water comes. From rain, our crops sprout forth. Therefore, it is a time when Allah's mercy is manifested, and because of this, it is also one of the times that a dua should be asked. Sahal ibn Sa'd narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Two are the du'as that are never returned, that are never rejected. The du'a when a prayer is being called, and the dua at the time of rainfall." These are some of the timings that the dua should be made and emphasized, and there are other timings besides these. Conditions during which a dua is answered. After a discussion of the timings during which the dua is likely to be answered, it is now important to discuss the conditions, the state that a person is in, that helps his dua being responded to. This is because the person has certain states that he goes through that also helps and increases his chances of dua being responded to. So anytime a person finds himself in such a state, he should be conscious of the fact that his dua is more likely to be recited to. Of the situations and the states that guarantees, I repeat, guarantees a response, and this is hardly ever so. Hardly ever is a dua is the response to a dua guaranteed 100%. But of the timings, it is, as per the words of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is for the person who has been wronged by someone else. And this, by Allah, is one of the greatest blessings and a huge and immense consolation to the one who has been wronged by his fellow Muslims or even from non-Muslims. The one who has been wronged has a weapon that is so powerful, that is so mighty, that nothing, I repeat, nothing can protect his enemy against that weapon, and it is the weapon of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in many, many a hadith that the dua of a Muslim that has been wronged, the mazloom, it shall be responded to. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom." He is addressing the Sahaba and the Muslims, and he is saying, "Beware, be scared, fear the dua of the one who has been wronged, for verily it ascends to the skies faster than the sparks of light itself." In other words, it goes up to the skies as fast as light travels, and it goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to that dua. Likewise, Anas ibn Malik reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fear the dua of the one who has been wronged, even if he is a kafir, even if he's a non-Muslim, If you wrong a non-Muslim and that non-Muslim raises his hand and says, "Oh God, do this, oh God, do that," Allah does not like injustice. Allah cannot stand injustice. And because of this, Allah Himself does not show any injustice ever. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah does not show injustice the weight of an atom. When Allah has not allowed it for Himself and has prohibited upon Himself, He has prohibited amongst His servants and creations as well. And when He has prohibited upon them, when a person shows injustice to any other person, Muslim or Kafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow that injustice and oppression to go unanswered. Fear the dua of the one whom you have wronged. O Muslim, beware of taking the rights of another Muslim. Beware of slandering him. Beware of saying evil and untruths about him. Beware of taking his money. Beware of doing anything that takes his rights away from him. Because when you do, then realize that the weapon that he will use against you is a weapon that nothing can protect you against. Neither your house, nor any fortress, nor any armor. How can you protect yourself against the very decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anas ibn Malik narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fear the dua of the one who has been wronged, even if he is a disbeliever, for there is no veil that remains between it and the dua." In other words, there is no veil, nothing prevents it from reaching up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a hadith narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ also told us that even if an evil person makes such a dua, it will be responded to. He said, the dua of one who has been wronged is responded to even if he is a fasiq, an evil person, for his evil will only be held against him. This is reported in the Musnad of At-Tayalisi. The point is, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, somebody is evil, his evil will only be held against him. That's his fault. The dua that he will do will not be affected by his own evil. So even the dua of a fasiq, an evil person, and a kafir, a person who is not even a Muslim, will be responded to if they make a dua against the one who wronged them. In another narration, a beautiful narration reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ said, three people's duas are never rejected. Three people's du'as are never rejected. The one who is fasting until he breaks his fast, the just ruler, and the one who has been wronged. Allah raises it, meaning the du'a, above the clouds, and the doors of the skies are open for it. And Allah Himself says, بِعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأَنصُرَنَّكِ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. Allah swears by my honor and my glory. Allah swears by my honor and my glory, I shall help you, I shall respond to you. Allah is addressing the soul of the one who is wronged. I shall help you, even if it be after some time. In other words, even if I don't give you what you want now, I will respond to your dua, and I will extract from the one who has wronged you the rights that he has taken away from you, and he shall be held accountable for that. This by Allah is a severe warning. A severe warning to the one who does wrong. And it is at the same time a means of comfort and solace to the one who has been wronged. O Muslim, when you have been wronged, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Him, I say. Why? Thank Him that you are the one who has been wronged and you are not the one who is doing the wrong. Thank Him that you are the one who has been wronged. Therefore, you can raise your hands to Allah and make dua to Allah and be certain, be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to your dua. Nothing will prevent Him from doing so. Not your sins, not the sins of anyone else. Allah has taken a promise and has given an oath. وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, by my honor and my glory, لَأَنصُرَنَّكِ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ, I shall respond to your call. I shall help you, even if it be after some time. And it is appropriate here to quote the stories of many of the companions we can quote, but time only permits us to do one or two. Many of the companions, it is authentically narrated that they made dua against those who did wrong to them, and their duas were responded to. Of these companions is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when Umar ibn al-Khattab made him the governor over Kufa. Some of the people complained about Sa'd, and they lied about him. And one person said, that know that Sa'd was not just in his judgments, nor did he distribute the money equally, nor was he easy with us. A pure and blatant lie against a noble companion. At this, when Sa'd heard this lie against him, he stood up and he said, O Allah, if this man is lying, then make him blind, and give him a long life, and make trials afflict him. The narrator who narrated this dua, he said, I saw him many, many years later, this man, after a long time, blind. His eyelids were drooping out of old age, and he used to harass the little girls as they walked in the alleys. Whenever he was asked, how are you? He would respond, I am an old man. Great trials have befallen me. The dua of Sa'd has been inflicted upon me. And this is a narration reported in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. Likewise, a woman accused Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the famous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of stealing. Sa'id ibn Zayd was one of those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam guaranteed paradise. How could such a person ever steal? A blatant lie. Sa'id made a dua against her and said, O Allah, if you know her to be lying, in other words, you know she is lying, then make her blind and make her grave in her own house. It is reported that this lady later on became blind, and she used to walk in her own house, touching the walls, saying, the dua of Sa'id has afflicted me. And once she passed by a well inside of her house, and she didn't notice it was there, she forgot it was there, and she fell into that well, and so that well became her grave. And this is reported in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. In these narrations, we see the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to these famous companions. And it shall be given to each and every person who was shown injustice and wrong. So beware, O Muslim, of oppressing other people in any shape, fashion or form. And take comfort and solace, O you who have been oppressed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed respond to your du'as. Another situation that is responded to is the one who is in severe circumstances. Whenever a person finds himself in a grave crisis and his heart is about to shatter with grief and fear, at this point he turns to Allah with the heart the like of which he cannot imagine, the quality of sincerity that he displays, and the desperation that he truly fears from the depths of his heart. He understands and he realizes that nothing can occur except by the will of Allah. That sincerity and desperation is what really and truly guarantees the response to a dua. Therefore, one who makes dua in such a state, he is responded to, regardless of whether the person is a Muslim or not. Yes, the dua of the kafir is sometimes accepted, and this is a part of the perfection of Allah being a Rabb. Allah is the Rabb of the Muslim and the kafir. He is the creator and the sustainer of the Muslim and the kafir. Therefore, when the kafir turns to Allah for help at such a time of severity, of distress, Allah responds even to his dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah An-Naml verse 62, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Is he not the one who responds to the one who is distressed when he makes dua to him? So the one who is in severe circumstances, whatever those might be, life and death situations for himself, for his loved ones, when he raises his hands and he feels that sincerity to Allah, that desperation, then rejoice that this is a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran. Is he not the one who responds to the one who is distressed when he makes dua? And there are numerous verses in the Quran. When the people ride the oceans, when the ships are about to drown, they make dua to Allah. Allah saves them, even though they are not Muslims. Therefore rejoice, O Muslim. Know that your dua has more of a right that Allah answers it because of your iman in him. So in that situation of distress, do not despair, do not falter, do not give up hope. Never lose hope of Allah's mercy. Turn to Allah, the one who decreed the situation you are in. He is the one who can bless you and find a way out for you. Of the situations in which the dua will be responded to is the dua that is done after a calamity has befallen him. This is because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested and tried a person, and the person is sincere to Allah and remains patient, Allah then blesses him and gives him what he wants. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Verily, with difficulty there shall come ease. Indeed, with difficulty there shall come ease. Umm Salama narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "There is no Muslim who is afflicted with a calamity, and he then says what Allah has commanded him to say, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minha. O Allah, give me rewards for this calamity and grant me something better than it.'" Whoever says this dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will give him something better to replace it. Umm Salama said, "When my husband died, Abu Salama, I said this dua, just like she heard the Prophet ﷺ say. But I could not help thinking, who is better than Abu Salama?" In other words, she loved her husband so much, and he was a noble companion, and he made hijrah to Habasha, to Abyssinia, and he also made hijrah to Medina. So she said to himself, "How can I find anybody better than Abu Salama?" And lo and behold, who sent her a proposal other than the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam herself? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent her a proposal other than the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with someone who indeed was better than Abu Salama. Likewise, of the situations in which the dua is responded to, is the dua of the traveler. The traveler who has left his house and is on a journey, a stranger in the land that he travels to, alone and away from his family and friends. As such, Allah sends His mercy upon such a person, especially more if he is traveling for a religious reason, for the sake of knowledge, or with the intention of performing any act of worship, such as Hajj or Umrah, or any other blessed act. Such a traveler has been guaranteed by Allah that his dua will be responded to. The Prophet ﷺ said, three are the du'as that are responded to. There is no doubt about them. The dua of the one who has been wronged, the traveler, and the dua of the father for his son, reported by the Sunan of Abu Dawood. Of the situations where the dua will be accepted is the dua of the father or the mother for or against his son or daughter. In other words, the dua that a parent makes for their offspring, it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The proof has already been narrated in this hadith that I just said, in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three are the du'as that are responded to. The last one, the du'a of the father for his son. In another narration, reported by Al-Bukhari in his Adab Al-Mufrad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the du'a of the father against his son. Because when a father, and of course the hadith also applies to the mother, and it also applies to the daughter. So basically, the du'a of the parent for or against their son or daughter, their children. This du'a is a blessed and holy dua, because nobody loves a person more than his own parents do. And so when a person makes dua for their children, there is an element of sincerity, an element of real and true desire and blessing that is desired. And because of this and other reasons as well, the dua of the parent is indeed accepted. In this there is a strong encouragement, O Muslims, to treat your parents with kindness and to avoid causing them distress in any way possible. For you want their blessings and you want their dua. Verily, your parents are your doors to Jannah, so be careful how you treat these doors. This was also a warning for parents not to rush in their anger and make a dua against their children, for no parent intends such a dua. They say so in a state of anger and they all regret it, but after they say so, how do you know that that dua will not be accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Be careful what you say, even in a state of anger against your children. It is not something that you desire to see. O parents, when you get angry at your children, control your tongue. Control your tongue and do not make dua against them, because you all know that you do not want that dua to really and truly be seen. Another state that dua is accepted is the exact opposite, the dua of the son for the father. So the dua of the parents for the children, and also the dua of the children for the parents as well. And this is because the son owes so much to his mother and father, so much that they can never really and truly repay the blessings that they have with their parents. While the father is alive, the son can benefit from him by pleasing him, thus ensuring that he makes dua for his son. But even after the father passes away, the son must continue to repay the sacrifices that the father made for him. And part of this can be done by sincerely making dua for him after he dies. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person dies, all of his actions are cut off, except for three: a perpetual charity, or a pious son that prays for him, or some knowledge that he gave that others benefit from. And this hadith is a famous hadith reported in Muslim and many other books. So the pious son should make a point of regularly praying for his deceased parents. And this is really the least that he can do to repay all of their kindness and love that they gave them. Likewise, of course, the hadith also applies to daughters and it also applies to mothers as well. The point is that the children should pray for their parents in their life and even after their death. They should pray for them throughout their lives. As long as Allah has given the children life, they should continue to make dua for their parents. Another situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and has said that He will accept the dua of the one who is in such a state is the dua of the one who is fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three duas are never rejected: the dua of the father, and the dua of the one fasting, and the dua of the traveler. Reported by Al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, three people's du'as are never rejected: the one who is fasting until he breaks his fast, the just ruler, and the one who has been wronged. So, the one who is fasting is in a special and blessed state, and he should be conscious of this, and he should therefore make du'as that are appropriate for that state. In fact, in one particular hadith, narrated in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and it might have a very, very slight weakness in it, yet still the concept has authentically been reported in other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, the one who is fasting, while he is about to break his fast, he has a dua that shall not be rejected. As we said, scholars have differed. Some of them have said this hadith is authentic. Others have pointed out a very slight weakness in it. So basically, this hadith is specifying that at the time of breaking the fast, there is a dua that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And either way, even if this hadith is slightly weak, there is no problem in making dua while fasting and thinking that this is a special and holy dua, because there are authentic hadith about that in other books. And right before breaking the fast, if a person really and truly concentrates, even though the food is laid out in front of him, this is indeed a sign of his humility and sincerity. Right before breaking the fast, he is still conscious of Allah, praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his fast and gives him the good of this world and the hereafter. This is without a doubt a blessed and very good time to make dua. Another situation which a person should make dua in is when he is going for Hajj, Umrah, or also while he is striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who is striving qital in the way of Allah, and the one going for Hajj, and the one doing Umrah, they are like the guests of Allah. Their du'as are responded to and their requests are given. Reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. So they are the guests of Allah. So it is as if when a person comes to your house and he is a guest and he asks you for water, he asks you for food, what do? You go out of your way to give him all that you have and you are hospitable to him. The Prophet ﷺ said that these people, the ones who go for Hajj and Umrah and for striving, they are the guests of Allah. Whatever they ask for, they shall get it. And this is a great blessing from Allah and an incentive for us to increase our going for Hajj and Umrah. The entire journey and the entire acts of Hajj and Umrah will be blessed and our du'as will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another situation which gives us chances of having du'as accepted more are when the person has finished reciting the Qur'an. When a person recites the Qur'an, the angels come down and listen intently to what he is saying. And this is something which has been reported in quite a few hadith. Therefore, after reciting any portion of the Qur'an, it is encouraged to make dua as it is more likely to be responded to. Likewise, when we finish reciting the entire Qur'an, we are encouraged to make a dua. Now there is a hadith reported about this, that there is one dua that should be given to the one who finishes reciting the Qur'an. However, this hadith is very weak, not just slightly weak. Therefore, we cannot base anything upon that. However, there are authentic narrations from the companions that when they would finish the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an from Fatiha to Nas, they would make a dua. It is narrated from Anas ibn Malik that when he finished reciting the Qur'an, he would call his entire family and he would make a dua with them present. Another situation which is strongly encouraged to make dua in is the dua of a person in his absence. In other words, you make dua for somebody who is not in front of you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is no Muslim worshipper who prays, makes dua for his brother Muslim in his absence, except that the angel says, 'And to you be the same, walaka al-mithl,' may you have the same as well." This is reported in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. So when you pray for your Muslim brother, "O Allah, bless him in his wealth. O Allah, increase him in knowledge. O Allah, grant him good life." By Allah, ponder over this. What joy and what beauty this hadith gives you. When you pray for another Muslim, an angel comes down and he makes a dua for you. O Allah, give him what he has asked for his fellow Muslim. Also imagine what lovely brotherhood will exist in the community that each member is making dua for another member of that community. When a person makes dua for his fellow Muslims, this really and truly shows that he has nothing but love for them. There is no evil intentions, no greed. There is no harm that he intends for his fellow Muslim. He only wants that which is good for them. So he makes dua, "O Allah, bless so and so with money." An angel comes down and says, "O Allah, give him money as well. O Allah, bless so and so in his family, in his wealth." An angel comes down and makes dua for you. One of the scholars writes, "In this hadith there is a point of benefit to be obtained. And that is, if your dua is responded to because your brother is absent from you, then we hope that the angel's dua for you will also be responded because you are absent from the angel." Beautiful point here. In other words, you do not see this angel when it makes dua for you. So just like the angel is invisible to you and it's making dua for you, the hadith also applies upon the angel and you as well. So when you make dua for your fellow Muslim and he is not in front of you, an angel comes down, and even though the angel is physically close, you don't know it's there. You cannot see it. So because of this, we hope that the hadith also applies to the angel's dua for you as well. And it is also reported that many of the pious ulama of the past, whenever they needed something for themselves, they would make a dua that somebody else get it, sincerely. And they would hope that an angel would come down and make dua for them. So if they were in difficult circumstances, they needed some money, they would say, "O Allah, bless my brother so and so with money and wealth." One of the ways they would make dua. And so by making dua for his fellow Muslim, the angel would come and make dua for him. And so he would hope to get what he wants through that. And of the situations and states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and the one who is in it, his dua will be responded to, is the one who constantly remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Three du'as are not rejected. The one who has been wronged, the one who remembers Allah frequently, and a just ruler." So the one who remembers Allah frequently, you always remember Allah. Standing, sitting, and lying down, you're always doing dhikr, the proper dhikr, the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Such a person who constantly remembers Allah, it is only befitting that Allah responds to him when he makes dua to Allah. So if you wish that your dua be accepted and responded to, be amongst those who always remember Allah. And this hadith also mentions another person whose dua is accepted, and that is a just ruler. A ruler who judges by the sharia, a ruler who fears Allah. In other words, a person who has been given power, and yet he does not misuse and abuse that power. He keeps within the bounds of the sharia. Such a person, his dua as well will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the situations and states that increases our chances of a dua being accepted. So it behooves a Muslim that when he finds himself in such a state, he should be conscious of that state, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and increase his duas to him.
You've reached the conclusion of this CD. Take the opportunity to evaluate yourself by going to ilmquest.org, where you will find a short quiz on the content of this presentation. That's www.ilmquest.org. The presentation will continue on the next CD.